Good morning. Everybody doing good? I like this last crowd group. No time limitations. I can just do whatever I want. Oh, man. We were pushing. I know that we had a baptism in the last service, and that caused us to get into your all's time slot a little bit. Thank you for being patient with us. I want to just tell you... what we're talking about today is life-changing stuff. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about the power of God in different ways. Several weeks ago, we talked about the power that He has as the Creator over all things, how He sustains all things. It still blows my mind to think about that while we murdered Jesus on the cross, He was still sustaining the entire world. That's amazing to me. But we talked about the power of God in as the Creator. We've talked about the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Nathan got to talk about that and got to talk about the Trinity some and the roles and how they play together and different things. And then last week we talked about the power of the cross and how it has power over sin, that Jesus was sent as the Son of God to be the payment for sin. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning. And then this week we're talking about the power of the resurrection. And so, fittingly so, it's Easter. On Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the fact that our Savior not only died, but He rose again. And that's what we're talking about a lot today. Also kind of talking about, to kind of go along with it today, the subject that everybody loves, and I'm sure everybody's going to like be just, you know, like talking about today over lunch and everything and over basketball games over the next several days, and that's death. We love death. We love to talk about it and stuff, right? Not so much, right? Most people are like, I don't want to talk about death. I don't want to think about death, you know. But that's what we're talking about today. And I think this should be encouraging. I hope that you hear that in what we're talking about with death today. But in talking about death, I want you to kind of throw an idea out there today, and that's this: that you don't have to die. You don't have to die. Now, right off the bat, some of you were like, okay, this dude's a Looney Tune. I'm not listening to anything else he says, even if I stay all the way through it, okay? Just hang with me, okay? Because we've got some things in Scripture that help us to see what God has done for us, and there is a truth that shows us we don't have to die. Now, physically, yes, we will die. We will give up these bodies eventually, one way or another. We know that and we get that. But even there's something that Jesus conquered, and not just our sin, but also in death. He conquered for us physical death. He also conquered for us spiritual death. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And so if you've got a Bible with you, go ahead and get it out. We're going to turn to the book of John today. We're going to be all over the place. And I think I'm going through quite a few scriptures today. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers are going to come up to the front and to the back. And just throw your hand up, get one from them if you left it in the car. If you don't own one, we want to give you that one. Take it with you. It's a gift. We want you to have it. Let God speak to you through it. Read it. It's His Word. Don't be afraid. They're walking down the aisles. Don't make them walk down here for nothing, okay? Let them, they're heavy, all right? Let them give you one, all right? Take a little load off, all right? Even if you just want to feel sorry for them. John 20 is where we're going today to start off with. And I felt like we needed to start here. And this is one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the New Testament. And if you're unfamiliar with the Gospels, basically it's four different accounts of four different guys who got to watch the life of Jesus and understand the life of Jesus. And so, just like if you had four friends that wrote books about you, they would write different things because different ones of them have seen different things in your life and know you in different ways. And so, in this particular scenario, we have the book of John, and we're going to be in the book of John a lot today. But in this scenario, we see the account in the book of John where Jesus has rose from the grave. But John chapter 20, verse 1 says this. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Having a little foot race here with the disciples. Verse 5 says this, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. This passage is just one of the accounts. We have some of the other accounts. Nathan was even quoting one of them earlier in the service, where we see Jesus has risen from the grave. This is such a huge deal for us, and I hope that you understand what a big deal the resurrection of Christ really is. The resurrection of Christ is equally as important to the cross itself. You know, and we're guilty, I think, as Christians, a lot of times, as we talk a lot about the cross, sometimes we don't talk enough about the resurrection. And really, the two go hand in hand. It is together the climactic piece of the gospel in which God not just tells of good news, but he proves the good news. And so what we've got here is we've got the only person in history who just on their own has risen from the dead. He's gone. The tomb is empty. Death couldn't keep him. It couldn't hold him. He's still alive. He's come back to life. This is important. Why? Well, historically, it's important because this is history. You know, and you say, well, I don't remember learning about this in history class. Well, you're probably not going to learn about this in history class. But the truth is this, that we have historical proof. This actually happened. I mean, this did split history, okay? And on top of that, we've got many accounts. You've got the book of John open there. Go read the rest of the book of John today, the rest of that chapter today. Read the rest of chapter 20. Read what happens after the resurrection. Read all the accounts that you see of Jesus coming and actually standing in the flesh to people. Not as a ghost, real guy. Standing there, you know, disciples walking up, not too sure, doubting Thomas. Yeah, you know, want to touch my hands? Here you go. Touch it. Find out for yourself. I'm standing here. I'm living proof. I am alive in front of you after I've been killed. Jesus did what nobody else has done. Many religions have come and gone. Many people have claimed to be things, claimed to be God, claimed to be Christ even at times. But only Jesus has ever done what he did with conquering the grave and coming back to life. This is huge. This is so huge. And for us, Jesus in general is huge. And in fact, I want to kind of give us a basis, a foundation for us to work from this morning. I think it's important that we understand a couple of little small things that are really huge things about Christ. God sent Jesus to die on the cross that his death would be the payment for our sin. There was a payment owed. I don't know if you realize that. In fact, if you go on to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says this. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. You know what that tells us? We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Well, one of the things that we know about death, and it talks about, or one of the things we know about sin, and it talks about it right here, is where it says, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. See, death came because of sin. When Jesus made Adam and Eve, you go Genesis 2 on this, he says, you know, enjoy the garden, here it is, you've got this awesome place, this is a great thing, but just one thing, don't eat of this one tree. Because if you do, you will surely die. Simple. It's so simple they couldn't do it. You know? The temptation was just that strong. They fell into sin. They sinned against God and they brought death into the world. You see, Scripture teaches us that the wages of sin, the punishment for sin is death. There's a payment owed for sin, and the payment is death. So this morning, you may not realize this, but you're going to make a decision this morning, okay? And maybe you've already made this decision, and I hope that you have, and I hope that it was for the good. But there's a decision that's going to be made this morning, and it's either you yourself want to die, or you're going to allow Christ's death to be your death for sin. It's one or the other. Either He dies for you, or you just take it and you're going to die. But I came today to tell you, you don't have to die. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. You're a sinner. Do you know that? You're not perfect. Anybody married to anybody that's perfect by any chance here today? It's a whole lot of people like looking at their spouses right now. Like, I'm not sure what to say to this. Don't worry, they're a sinner, okay? You're off the hook. They're a sinner. You can blame it on the preacher, okay? It's all my fault. It's not really my fault. It's, you know, it's man's fault. But here's the deal. We're sinners. And because we have sin, there's a payment owed. We talked about this last week. The payment is death. Scripture teaches us this. You see, God is just and He's love. He's like a great parent. A great parent loves their kid, will say, "Don't touch the stove because it's hot and you'll get burned." The kid's like, "I've never touched the stove before. I think I'd like to touch it and see what happens." And we do, don't we? I mean, it's just like the don't eat of the tree. It's the same thing. God doesn't make up rules and regulations for us. He gives us things to help us, to keep us from living outside of the way He created us to live. He doesn't want us to be hurt by His own creation. He doesn't want us to live in sin. He knows that it's unhealthy for us. He knows that it is going to lead us to death. Jesus came not to bring death, not even to bring judgment, but to bring life. John 10:10 says this. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Hear that? Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. The thief, of course, is talking about Satan. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't want anything to do with that stuff. He says, "I came that they, all who would believe in Him, may have life and have it abundantly." Does anything about that say that Jesus came to like be the party pooper to the party? Nothing. I mean, all over Scripture, just like Nathan said a second ago, all over Scripture we see this understanding that we've been called to have joy. And to find our joy in our salvation, the very thing in which God did for us through His Son Jesus, that we could find our joy from that and that we can live in that. That's enough for us to live in no matter what's going on in our lives. Did you know that? Like, as crazy of a situation that you might be in right now, God has made a way that you could have joy even now in the midst of a storm. He came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He says, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." So here's what we've got. We're going back to death, right? Again, death, not something that we need to fear. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we just sang a song that said, "No fear of death." In it. Like, you just sang out loud that I will not be afraid of death. Now, I'm, you know, I'm messed up because I'm a preacher's kid, okay? So you gotta can't hold it against me. I'm just gonna tell you a little bit about what it was like to grow up being me. My dad picked me up from school, and there were no babysitters. He's picking me up from school, usually not on time. Other teachers and kids felt sorry for me, and I felt sorry for me many times. And when he finally did come, usually we were not going straight home. Usually we were going somewhere, and somewhere usually included either a nursing home, a hospital, somebody's house, or many times a funeral home, okay? So death to me as a kid, like something that was like ordinary. People die, they get in a casket, they get buried, they ride in the black car. I mean, all of this stuff, very normal for me, all right? And to be quite honest with you, I'm going to say this, and I'm saying this as an encouragement to parents today. I am thankful that my parents did not teach me to fear death. I am thankful for that. I know a lot of people have different, you know, philosophies, whatever. I'm not saying you're wrong or whatever. I'm just saying, because of my parents not teaching me to be afraid of that, I'm not saying they didn't teach me to be afraid of not running out in the front of a car. I'm not stupid, okay? I'm just saying, in general, they did not teach me, like so many of us are so afraid of death. You know, that they didn't pass something on like that to me. And the reason so is because there is no reason for us to fear death if we believe in Jesus. You see, he came to bring life that we could have it abundantly. Okay, so there's a couple things happening here. And we're going to see this as Scripture unfolds. We're going to read several passages together this morning. And one of the things that I think that we've got to understand is, yes, there's a physical death coming, and we're going to see that Jesus has saved us from the physical death. And I'm going to talk about that this morning a little more than I normally do. But there's also this understanding that Jesus came to bring us life. He came to bring us purpose. You know that God created us for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Him. And for those that don't believe in Christ, I'm afraid that if you're here today and you've never put your trust and your faith in Christ, I'm afraid that for you, you're probably, tell me if I'm wrong, I'm not trying to like whatever here, but I'm afraid for you that you're probably like rolling through life, like just coming up with like one thing after another, oh, like this is going to be my life now, and then that doesn't work out, and well, then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to buy that, and that's going to make me happier. I'm going to get this other job title, and that's going to do it, and that's, man, well, no, that job title didn't do it. We're going to move this job title, and that's going to do it, and that's not doing it. I'm just here to tell you, Jesus didn't come to like bring us life for job titles. He came to bring us life that we could live. I'm telling you, us putting our faith and our trust in Jesus, believing in Him, Him being the Lord of our life, is not just about a ticket out of hell. And that's part of it, and I'm thankful for it. But at the end of the day, I'm not the guy that's going to teach you, you know, you should come to Jesus so you don't go to hell. I'm saying you should come to Jesus because He loves you. I'm saying that what God has done through the sacrifice of His Son, as we talked about on Friday, that right before He goes to the cross, He's praying to the Father in an agony. He's asking, Father, is there anything, any other way? And He knows. He knows they're going to kill Him. And honestly, He had ways out. I mean, if nothing else, He's Jesus, okay? He could do whatever. Chris Angel's got nothing on Him, all right? Poof, I'm gone. There's fake Jesus up there. I'm standing out in the crowd now. Yeah, He didn't do that, though. He didn't want to. He came to be the perfect sacrifice. Here's the thing about Jesus that you got to understand. Jesus lived a perfect life. He's the only man that ever lived a perfect life. Or woman, before any of you ladies go home and tell your husbands differently, okay? Jesus lived a perfect life, and this is why that's important. Because He's the only one that has ever lived a perfect life, because He's God, He's the only one that could ever be the perfect sacrifice for our sin. His death is the only death that could ever have taken the place of ours. To appease the Father, to take on the wrath of God. He paid the payment for us. So Jesus pay this payment. Died on the cross, but then he rose again 3 days later. John 8 says this in verse 34. John 8, verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." I want to remind you something. You don't have to die. You don't have to die. This passage gives us the keys to understanding a couple of things that are super important in our faith. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Let me kind of open a door for you. You may not like it, and I'm sorry. I'm just the messenger, okay? Don't shoot me. But if you don't know Christ, if you've never put your faith and trust in Him, then you do not have freedom from sin. In other words, you are a slave to it. We understand that from Scripture. Likewise, believers, and believers are great at falling into this trap. Satan loves for us to fall into this trap. And that's this trap that we believe that we are slaves to sin and that there's no way we could ever conquer sin in our life. Let me tell you what, you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to not sin for the rest of your life, that kind of thing. But for us to ever begin to think that there is a sin in our life and we are a slave to it, if we know Christ as our Savior, if He has saved us, He has freed us. What's it say? That we would be free indeed. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. But I go back to everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And then in verse 35, it says something that's very interesting. It says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. And this is taking the slave and master thing that was, you know, something that was going on at the time. Okay? And for the understanding that the master would have a slave, but the slave wouldn't live in the house. The slave would come in the house to do things, and then the slave would leave. But the son remains forever. Well, that makes sense because the master's son, that's his house, he wants the son to live in the house. So in verse 35, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. It's very important to us. If you're not careful, you might read that to say that the Son who remains forever would be Jesus. If that goes up on the screen, verse 35 again, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. Is the Son here capitalized or not? It is not. It is not talking about Jesus. It is talking about anyone who would believe in Him, that they would be sons or daughters adopted into the family, that we could live in the house forever. You don't have to die. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That is a great word of encouragement for those of us that are believers. And I'll be honest with you, if you're not a believer here today, that's a great word of encouragement for you, because here's the deal. God offers His grace freely to anybody that would believe in Him. He offers it to anybody that would believe. John 8:51 says this. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." There's a verse for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. We don't have to die. I know what you're thinking. You're still going, "Chris, I'm going to die. I'm going to, you know." Yeah, I understand. I get it. You know, you're going to physically die at some point. But let me just ask you a question. If God created us and He sent His Son to die for us and He came back to life and He said, "I'm Jesus," and, you know, split history wide open and, you know, hundreds and literally hundreds and hundreds of people read that book of that chapter of John 20, saw Jesus come and do that, and then they saw him ascend to go back to be with the Father through the clouds in heaven. And he's saying to us, you can live forever. I'm putting my stock in that. You know? I mean, like, I know it's real easy for us to be like all just about like doom and gloom, and when death comes, that's it. That ain't it. This is not home. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. We don't have to die. John 11:24 says this. John 11:24 is this just a piece out of the passage of Jesus' buddy Lazarus, who dies. I mean, we see Jesus wept. This is that passage of scripture where Jesus actually cries. He mourns the death of his friend, and you know, it's funny. You know, he comes back into town, and he's kind of too little, too late. The party's over with. Lazarus is already dead. And he's in this upper room kind of deal, and that was pretty typical of how they would do a funeral type setup. And I'm hoping that they didn't have the terrible lamps that they have at the funeral homes. You ever notice like the terrible lamps? What are up with those lamps? You know, they're like orange and pink, and they're just really weird. I know, coming from the guy with the mohawk and the pink shirt. But Lazarus is dead. And one of his relatives, Martha, meets Jesus to come to him and say, basically, Jesus, you're too late. You're too late. What have you been doing? Where have you been? You've been having drinks with the guys or something? And Martha said to him in verse 24, talking about Lazarus, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She knew that Lazarus believed that Jesus was the Son of God and had come to save them. This is awesome. They had this kind of faith at this point. And just to kind of give you some understanding of how they could possibly have that faith already in Jesus before Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Because me, I'm just sure that I'm probably going to doubt him until the moment that I see him alive after the grave, okay? I'm that guy. But here's the deal. Martha and them, they've studied the Word. They knew it. In the Old Testament, don't get to thinking that the Old Testament is like something you can throw out because we don't need it anymore because we have the New Testament. Now, I'm here to tell you it's been redeemed in a major way, but the understanding that we have of the Old Testament is the whole Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. There's one story going on here, okay? And so they had an understanding of that God was going to send the Messiah, the Christ. And so when she says, you know, I know that you are the Christ, which she does here in a minute, she understood who he was and what he was there to do. She may have not understood that he was going to die and resurrection, all this kind of stuff. You know, they had a lot of misunderstandings at times like that because, you know, he was, you know, talked of to be the king of the Jews that would come and be the king of the Jews. And so in their minds they're thinking like kings and thrones and crowns and all that kind of stuff. And that's not the way Jesus came. But Jesus says to her, after she says to him, you know, he's going to rise again. I know he's going to be okay. He's going to rise again on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives, get it, here it is, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. We don't have to die. Jesus doesn't stop there. I love it. Jesus, in this moment of mourning for Martha. She's mourning the loss of this loved one. And in the moment of this, Jesus looks at her and asks her a question, kind of calls her out for a little bit of a second maybe. And he just says, do you believe this? He didn't just tell her about it. He just looks at her and goes, do you believe this? And in verse 27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, Son of God, who is coming into the world. I'll ask you, do you believe this? Have you ever put your faith in this? That Jesus could be the payment for your sin, that He could redeem you and make things right between you and the Father and be your Savior. Let me ask you a question. Are you afraid of death? You afraid of it? No, we just sung that we are not. Hebrews 2:14 gives us a passage that for us I think is very important in lieu of what we're talking about this morning especially. And it says this in Hebrews 2:14. It says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things." And here we go. "That though that through death He might destroy the one who has power of death." That is the devil. So he's talking about Satan. So he's basically saying that Jesus destroyed, would destroy Satan. And in verse 15, "and deliver," this is great news for us, "and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." Christian, we are not supposed to live in lifelong slavery. We have been freed of not only our sin, but even death itself. The resurrection has power over death. Jesus defeated it. He kicked it in the face. He punched it in the throat. Okay? Death is not something that we are supposed to live in fear of. He delivered us from fear of death, that we would not live in lifelong slavery. We are free from sin because of the cross, because of the resurrection. That's what God has done for us through His Son. We don't have to die. We don't. Revelation 20. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read a couple of excerpts out of it. But I encourage you to go read Revelation 20, at least read verses 12 through 15. And this is the passage where you've heard of the Book of Life, right? This is where, you know, like Hollywood has fun with this and like St. Peter and Gates and, you know, big books and all this kind of stuff. And it may be like that. I have no idea. We'll see. But this is where it talks about the Book of Life and it talks about the books in general. And in fact, if in the verse 12 of this, it says, "And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done." Okay? Now, I want you to pay close attention. The dead. The dead is not just talking about physical death here. It is talking about spiritual death. The dead. Okay, so there are books for the dead, those that are spiritually dead, who have never trusted in Christ, who have never believed in Him, put their faith in Him, and allowed Him to save them. There are books, okay? And they give account of the things that you've done. The dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done, okay? I'll be honest with you, that scares the junk out of me, okay? Like, I don't even want to think about that. I've heard preachers like take this like to the nth degree and try to guilt people into making, you know, responses, you know, to wanting to receive Christ as their Savior and all this by saying, "Oh, well, you know, you're going to get to heaven and, you know, you're going to be in a big room and everybody's going to be there and they're going to show all your sins on the screen and all this stuff." I don't think that's probably going to happen. But there's going to be an account given for the dead, the spiritually dead. But in verse 15, it gives hope here, okay? I want you to see that. I don't want it to be doom and gloom. Verse 15 says this, "And if anyone's name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." You go, "Chris, that sounds like doom and gloom to me." No. That sounds like there's a book of life that's opposite of the dead. For those of us that have believed in Christ, we will not have to give account for the things that we have done, because when God sees us, He already and will then see His Son. Because He has already paid the price on our behalf that we don't have to die. 1 Corinthians 15:55. I can't preach this and not share this passage. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. We understand that. We've been talking about that. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. His death, Jesus Christ's death to life, is a reminder that He's still alive. Okay, Christian, I want you to know something. He's still alive. I think that sometimes we often get to thinking that Christ Himself, because we're not seeing Him these days, you know, so much or whatever, you know, we think in our heads, well, He must be dead, you know. He's not dead. He didn't die again after He rose from the grave. He is alive. And He wants relationship with us. He wants to save us. He wants us to know Him, to believe in Him, to be changed by Him, to be redeemed by Him. He wants to rescue you. He doesn't want you to die. I got to read this one last little thing, one last little passage. It's the very end of the book of John. And at the very end of the book of John, we have two verses right here that kind of stick out as being set apart. And these two verses don't seem like much when you just look at them at a glance, and because it's John kind of ending the book. He's saying, this is why I wrote this, you know? And he's kind of even saying, hey, there was more to it than I wrote here. I couldn't write it all, but I wrote what I did, and just so you know. So in verse 30 of chapter 20 of the book of John, it says this. It says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. And then in verse 31, it says this. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. You see, it's not just a physical death that is facing us. It is a spiritual one. And the unfortunate part here is that because of our sin, the spiritual death is already there unless we have already believed in Christ. But the good news is that by believing, you may have life in His name. He came to give you life. He came to give you a way out. There came a point in my life where I realized I knew a lot about Jesus. In fact, it was pure conviction. I really feel from the Holy Spirit that God put some people in my life to say some things to me and show me that I didn't know Jesus. And the conviction came in the form of me just really feeling in my heart one day and realizing after spending some time with God that God was saying to me, Chris, you know a lot about me, but you don't know me. You see, being good or being related to somebody or whatever doesn't cut it. There's only one way that we are forgiven. There's only one way that we can have a relationship with Christ, and that is through believing. Like it says, that by believing, you may have life in His name. And I know that we're talking about death a lot today, but I'll be honest with you, we're really talking about life. Because you don't have to die. You can have life in Christ, and all you have to do is believe. You're going to make a decision one way or another. Either He pays or we pay. Somebody's got to pay. Because there's a penalty for sin, and the penalty is death. Why wouldn't we allow Him to make the payment on our behalf? the resurrection has power over death. He beat it. Death couldn't hold him. He's alive. He wants us to have a relationship with him. God chose to put our wrath on his son. You don't have to die. He already did. All you have to do is believe. If you want to put your faith in Christ today, if you want to talk with somebody, pray with somebody, after the service is over with, there'll be a bunch of us down here. We'd love to talk and pray with you about that. If God's speaking to your heart, listen. Let's pray together.